listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Speaking of the propaganda and so forth, just to connect some dots, George Bernard Shaw, Man and Superman, he wrote, the reasonable man adapts himself to the world. The unreasonable one persists in trying to adapt the world to himself. Therefore, all progress depends on the unreasonable man. And we've been groomed on propaganda of that sort in ways that people don't realize. I believe that one of the propaganda aspects of the vigilante themed movies and television broadcasts in particular is to foment this sort of attitude, you know, the fighting fire with fire sort of attitude, you know, the way to beat the unreasonable man, as George Bernard Shaw put it, at his own game, is to fight fire with fire. And so you got to be more unreasonable than the unreasonable man. The only problem is then you find yourself leaning into bizarre Orwellian, you know, Alice in Wonderland sort of upside down and backwards territory. You start gravitating toward the weird aphorisms of folks like Donald Rumsfeld, who is, by the way, a curious figure. Just even a cursory review of, like, his Wikipedia page, for example, will give you some idea of kind of what I mean. Someone like Lieutenant Eric Schein might have fun with Donald Rumsfeld's background, and probably has at some point. Anyway, his father came from a German-American family that had emigrated in the 1870s. yeah. It's an interesting story. So Donald Rumsfeld, curious figure, he's a guy, I forget exactly how he put it, but remember he said, sometimes we need to cooperate with folks you wouldn't want as your neighbor. And that's interesting, you know, considering the fact that I think it's all sort of predicated on his quote from the 60s in the Chicago Tribune. It's a difficult thing today to be informed about our government, even without all the secrecy. So most of what we get is filtered through propaganda. And getting back to the discussion with William in Montana specifically, national security and state secrecy and all that nonsense, which is always just an excuse. It's a surreptitious pretext to do things that are morally disagreeable. That's usually what it amounts to. But you can see how all of this goes together. You know, you create a specious currency fits very well when the old expression, all is fair in love and war, you know, all is fair in war, essentially, and we've seen that play out time and time again. We create these conventions, we're told to prevent atrocities and genocide and so forth, but they're violated continually. Often the worst offenders are the loudest advocates and proponents. United States military industrial complex, case in point. So it's, again, it's the Machiavellian intrigue and deception at work that fits well with all of these other mechanics. And, you know, when you institutionalize an economic sector, so to speak, you know, like the military-industrial complex, and what is happening in Virginia particularly, I dare say a number of folks like Patrick Henry, for example, would turn over on their grave if they knew what was happening in Virginia. But, you know, obviously that kind of Machiavellian deception goes hand in hand with institutionalizing that sector of industry. Well, you know, national security, state secrets, and there are bad people in the world, and like Donald Rumsfeld said, paraphrasing, you know, sometimes we have to cooperate with bad guys, people you wouldn't want as your neighbors to get stuff done. That sort of erroneous thinking has a trajectory. It leads somewhere. And that somewhere is not good. So, you know, I was looking for the quote specifically. I don't remember when it was. It one of the Jim Lehrer interviews. You know, Donald Rumsfeld is, again, he's one of those guys that's been around forever. You know, I think of pictures like him in the artificially unsweetened times. Artificially sweetened times. And, you know, pictured with guys like Saddam Hussein and Muammar Gaddafi, on and on. Just been around forever. But for those who don't know, the artificially sweetened times, does it have him on the cover? You know, Cheney and Rumsfeld, who are these men, and which one went on to prove that political muscle trumps public health and safety in the product approval game? This is an old story. Speaking of the drugs, you know, I think Tony Cartolucci's point was well observed in his Twitter rant that I mentioned a couple of weeks ago. The efficacy of vaccines isn't in question so much as the rampant corruption and fraud of the, not just the companies producing these products, but also the government agencies ostensibly created to regulate these products. Really what they become is engines of monopoly to make sure that those who can spend a few million bucks to get something fast-tracked through maintain hegemony in the marketplace. That's what it ends up being. I mean, can we be honest about that? Anyway, the trajectory of that kind of language, that kind of rhetoric, and the founders were very vocal about this. I mean, you even guys like Alexander Hamilton in Federalist Number 29 talked about this sort of language and how potentially hazardous it is to invoke, you know, national security and national emergency and all of this kind of rhetoric that has a tendency to create a momentum of its own. And you have designing, ambitious, you know, cunning, ambitious, unprincipled folks that sometimes will do things. And then it's that, well, you know, here we are. What can we do? We got to keep moving forward. Sometimes forward isn't always best. Sometimes looking back is not a bad thing. And that is the operative concept with repentance. We are headed in a bad direction. Let's turn before we, you know, plunge over the cliff at our peril. Forward is not always best, but you know, you hear people say that. Forward is the only way. Progress is the only way. Great. Progress, far from consisting in change, depends on retentiveness, right? Didn't Santayana tell us everyone needs to remember the broader context? Those who cannot remember history. Progress, far from consisting in change, depends on retentiveness. So you can't be retentive if you're not looking back and remembering. Anyway, the direction reminds me of Pike's letter to Mazzini and that Third World War. We shall unleash the nihilists and the atheists, and we shall provoke a formidable social cataclysm. That's what's happening. You know, I made the point yesterday, the danger of the military-industrial complex that was institutionalized in the 1947 National Security Act isn't just what's happening here. It's, again, it's this corresponding creation of the apparatchiks worldwide where everyone is drawn into this specious, fomented conflict. And, you know, under the ostensible guise that, you know, this is the brave new world we live in and this is what you got to do, it's not true. If you step back and you quit being dishonest and you start shutting down these dishonest engines, you know, Jerry in Texas mentioned the BATFE, you know, K for knives now. And again, I mean, you can do a search. I'll do one right now. Let's see. BATF. What do you do? Gun walking? So if you go to the ATF, well, I mean, that's the Wikipedia entry, ATF gun walking scandal. That's the first entry in a DuckDuckGo search, BATF gun walking. And there's a CBS News piece, ATF gun walking scandal timeline. That's CBS News. ATF shuffles personnel amid fast and furious gun walking. You know, and what Cheryl Atkinson proved was that we've seen, what, three administrations now? Four, I think. There was Clinton, Bush, Obama, and it persists in the Trump era. And, I mean, for that matter, we could go back to Bush and Reagan. Because it's a short trip from ATF gun walking to Iran-Contra, as we keep seeing in high-profile incident after high-profile incident, when you have companies like Century International Arms connected to shootings in Paris, for example, where the gun traces back through Iran-Contra to Century International Arms. So you could call the ATF gun walking scandal Iran-Contra 2.0, really, or just a sort of continuation of it. Cheryl Atkinson did the I would say, the lion's share of substantive reporting on that story. So, you know, we heard Obama administration, but the Jacob Chambers case began in October 2009 and really became known publicly as Fast and Furious in like February of 2010. But by 2011, 12, 13, Cheryl Atkinson was really starting to dig in, and then suddenly the story, you know, went away. I mean, she was saying the story goes into several administrations. It's not just guns, it's grenades, it's military hardware. What's going on here? Oh, nothing to see here. That story's gone, and guess what? We've all forgotten about it since then, haven't we? How convenient. It's not gun walking, it's Iran-Contra, essentially. Anyway, as my grandfather used to say, everything old is new again. So, you know, BATF, gun walking, I mean, but who's going to search that? Kind of like, who's going to search MMR vaccine lawsuit? Why would I search that? They're perfectly safe. By the way, what do you think? I believe, I'll just say I believe, that it's arguably, it's certainly irresponsible. It's arguably malpractice if doctors don't know about Dr. Stephanie Seneff's research, for example, and what happens when vaccines and glyphosate get together, let alone mixing in the electromagnetic frequency pollution, the wireless pollution. You start mixing those elements together. How convenient then that product manufacturers only test in a vacuum, so to speak. They test these products typically in isolation and also for very short-term side effects. So, you know, testing the vaccine by itself and did it kill somebody immediately? Oh, no, then it's fine. But not testing the combined effects and chronic effects. And you get someone like Stephanie Seneff working essentially on her own dime, doing mountains of research that provide mountains of evidence that, yes, Virginia, there is a problem. Why is it that we have to rely on companies to come back after the fact who, as we find out time and time again, know about these problems in advance? Why do we have to rely on them to hear the public outcry and say, okay, you know what, this product doesn't have this in it anymore, but it has these 10 things? What a sad commentary that a product would be labeled, you know, that it was animal cruelty free tested, but that it has a carcinogenic element in it, like a shampoo or, you know, some other product. How sad. We care more about the animals than the people, the consumers of the product. Or that, you know, people are talking about going to other countries. What a sad commentary when, for example, with wine makers, people don't want to shop Southern California wines anymore because everything has it's all either oversprayed with Roundup or there's probably some overspray that's getting on anyone's crops who wouldn't use Roundup, but from what I understand, it's 100%, you know, folks who say 100% of the crops. But what a sad commentary that there are people saying in America, we have to go outside our own country to buy products that won't kill us. I thought only China put melamine in stuff. I thought we don't care enough about our own people. This just gets to the heart of that psychopathy that we've been talking about over the last 2 hours in today's broadcast. Hopefully that makes sense. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
It happens more often than we can imagine. In my case, I was sitting at home, and out of nowhere, I just started feeling uncomfortable. Then it got worse, and I started perspiring. I tried to ignore it, but I waited too long. The chest pain came as we were driving to the hospital emergency. I felt my life clock begin to tick. I barely survived. There was lots of damage done to my heart. What do I do now? I was lucky. I took a leap of faith and tried a 7-herb formula with hawthorn, garlic, cayenne, and more called Extendivite. Herbs have been used for thousands of years to keep us healthy. If you're not using Extendivite as a preventative supplement, maybe it's time to start. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health, and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Reluctantly crouched at the starting line, engines pumping and thumping in time. The green light flashes, the flags go up, churning and burning, they yearn for the cup. They deftly maneuver and muscle for rank, fuel burning fast on an empty tank. Reckless and wild, they pour through the turns. Their prowess is potent and secretly stern. As they speed through the finish, the flags go down. The fans get up and they get out of town. The arena is empty except for one man, still driving and striving as fast as he can. The sun has gone down and the moon has come up, and long ago somebody left with the cup. But he's driving and striving and hugging the turns and thinking of someone for whom he still burns. He's going for speed. She's all alone, all alone in a time of need. Because he's racing and pacing and plotting the course. He's fighting and fighting and riding on his horse. He's going the distance.
Yeah. Welcome back. I feel like I'm soft-pedaling what we're talking about here, and I don't want to do that. I think we'll play that excerpt from Jordan Peterson's interview with Jocko Willink, the YouTube video titled How a Totalitarian State is Actually Formed, and includes Jocko Podcast and Jordan B. Peterson. Because he said it, and when you listen, it's what we're talking about. When we talk about, you know, again, Jerry in Texas brings up the BATF, All you had to do is look at the gunwalking scandal. Why did that disappear from the headlines? Just as Cheryl Atkinson seemed to be getting some real traction on the subject and the story. I mean, she was really, seemed like she was picking up a head of steam. And suddenly it disappears. Why? January 2011, after being approached by a number of ATF whistleblowers, Senator Charles Grassley, Republican from Iowa, begins an investigation into Fast and Furious gunwalking allegations. What happens to all of Chuck Grassley's questions? He asked some good questions. We should have a real government shutdown until some of Chuck Grassley's questions get answered. Has the FBI responded to some of his inquiries? Has the BATF responded yet? How about some accountability to the American people? If not, shut them down. Oh, but we won't be safe. You know what? Organizations that are suborning low-level criminals to make them informants, to go out and suborn low-level criminals, to make them informants, to rinse and repeat, sounds an awful lot like what we'll hear Jordan Peterson talk about. History tells us this is how you create a totalitarian state. You know, when suddenly half or better of the people in every household are an ATF informant, an FBI informant. You know, an organization like the CIA that has a storied history of coups, overthrowing governments repeatedly in other countries. How dare a country that has a CIA try to preach to other countries about meddling in this or that when the CIA has done that more times in a single country, pick a country, Iran, Iraq, Syria, you know, Libya, pick a country, than these other countries being preached at have ever. How many coups has Iran executed, Venezuela executed, Syria? Now, you know, even the United Nations is saying Syria has a humanitarian crisis, 40,000 people displaced. We have to do something. We have to send white helmets in, which is, again, it's always a Machiavellian front. Well, you know, we have guys like Bashar al-Jafari, permanent Syrian ambassador, saying, hey, we caught these intelligence folks masquerading as, you know, displaced folks, and so we're going to name them, and he did, and send them back. So, you know, now we can't get the same kind of frontline intel. We got to do it another way. We need the UN to say there's a crisis. We got to. Is that what's happening? Maybe. It's been done before. It's always some stupid Machiavellian intrigue and deception. You can't. That is not a long-term recipe for success. It's just not. We tell our children that. It's better just to tell the truth, because if you're trying to build an empire on lies, sooner or later your house of cards is going to crumble. That's what America is becoming if it has not already become. A house of cards built on lies and deception, Machiavellian intrigue and deception. Now everyone, it's not bad enough we have Bernaysian propaganda. Now everyone has to be an Alinskyite community organizer with Bernaysian propaganda pedigree. You know, public relations field of study and career is not enough. Now you got to be a community organizer too. It's insane, and it's a tenuous path, and not a path for long-term success. I think we'll play that clip on the other side of the break. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
My friend, yes, feel is their appointed duty. They keep trying to tell me, all you want to do is use me. But my answer, I want to spread the news that if it feels it's good getting used, oh, you just keep on using me until you use me up. Until you use me up. My brother sit me right down and he talked to me. He told me.
Welcome back.
That I ought not to let you just walk on.
You know, it's interesting. H.G. Wells, New World Order, 1939. When the struggle seems to be drifting definitely towards a world social democracy, there may still be very great delays and disappointments before it becomes an efficient and beneficent world system. Countless people will hate the New World Order and will die protesting it, when we attempt to evaluate its promise, we have to bear in mind the distress of a generation or so of malcontents. Really? That's actually turning things around in upside down and backwards. Many of them quite gallant and graceful-looking people. One of the consequences of the reordering, rewriting of history and doing it to the exclusion of ideas, as James Lowen points out and Liza, my teacher, told me, quoting Francis Fitzgerald specifically, it is not only radical or currently unfashionable ideas that the texts leave out, it is all ideas, including those of their heroes. One of the side effects of this is a sort of predestination, or the idea of preordination of history. You know, that's all just preordained. I'm not among those who suffer from that delusion, and I wouldn't seek to thwart God's will. Quite the contrary. But I do believe that the biblical call for me is to occupy till he comes, so to speak, and to sound the alarm. And so in that fashion, you know, we've been sort of talking about that today, as we often do, a reordering of our thinking, you know, valuing the family unit, understanding the value of life, you know, what is often referred to as human life, but mankind. And again, virtue, morality, and religion. It's interesting. When you just go and look at the Ten Commandments, take them at face value, what is the hysterical antagonism all about? What's so bad, for example, about honoring your mother and father? That doesn't sound like a good idea to me. So, you know, if you want to reorder things, you start attacking ideas like that, good ideas. We need to get our heads screwed on straight, I think. And to see things properly is helpful. And again, everything that has been discussed today really reminds me of Jordan Peterson's appearance on Jocko Willink's podcast last year. And that clip specifically, how a totalitarian state is actually formed. This is kind of an extended clip, but I think it really punctuates today's discussion. So give this a listen, please.
You know, you saw the same thing with Solzhenitsyn's description of the gulags, because they were run in large part by the inmates. But I think that that's a really good metaphor for totalitarian states in general, you know, because we like to think that a totalitarian state is made up of innocent, oppressed individuals who are under the thumb of an evil tyrant, and that all of the catastrophes are cascading from the top down. But I don't think that that's true. I think that it's more like a holographic structure where the tyranny exists at every single level. So it exists psychologically, and it exists within the family, and it exists within the mid-level organizations. And so, well, you know, in Eastern Germany, for example, one out of every three people was a government informer. So what that meant is, if you had a family of six people, that two of them you couldn't trust. And you can't just say that that's a consequence of the top-down structure. A tyranny is something that exists everywhere simultaneously once it gets a grip. And it's easy for people to say things like, well, I was just following orders. And, you know, I'm not trying to put myself in a position where I'm claiming that if I was in that position, I wouldn't have followed orders in the same way. I mean, God only knows till you get there, right? That's for sure. But what that did to me was focus my attention more and more on the necessity of individual responsibility. I thought if it was individuals in the final analysis who were responsible for the great evils of the 20th century, which I think is a reasonable way of conceptualizing it, then it might be individuals who could be responsible for whatever good there might be in mankind that could help us avoid those situations in the future. And I thought of that as an alternative, in some sense, to nihilistic disbelief and ideological possession, you know, because if your group identity is too tight, then you start acting like a cog in a mob that's a very bad thing. But then if your group identity disappears completely, well, then you're left alone and bereft. And so those are bad alternatives, right? You're sort of damned if you do and damned if you don't. And it was very difficult to understand that there might be a third path between those two. I couldn't see the existence of anything, because people need belief systems in order to exist, right, to maintain psychological stability and to maintain sociological stability as well. But then if the beliefs get too rigid, then they turn into a raging totalitarian mob. So maybe you let that go because you don't want to play that game, but then you dissolve because you have no identity. That's not acceptable either. When I first laid that out that clearly, it was really hard on me because I couldn't see a third path to that. But then I started to realize, and this was a consequence of reading the sorts of things that we already talked about, but also of starting to understand the underlying structure of mythology and what the heroic path meant, essentially, and that meant adoption of supreme moral responsibility as an individual. Now, there's this idea in the New Testament, which is a really interesting idea. You know, it's one of these bottomless ideas, and I mean that literally. You could study it forever and never get to the bottom of it. And the idea is that Christ is the person who takes the sins of mankind on himself. And there's something redemptive about that. And that's actually a really dark idea, because what it means, as far as I can tell, what it means, at least what it means psychologically, is that when you read these terrible things, you have to understand that you're reading about you. If you don't understand that you're reading about you, then you don't actually understand the stories, you know, because you put yourself in the position where you're automatically the good person who would never do anything like that. And then these other people are, well, they're devils in some sense, right? And it's very easy for people to make that division. But it's a horrific realization when you think that that devil that you see outside is the same thing that's inside, and that you don't know until you're put in a situation like that what you might do. And then it's even worse, because if you look at the historical evidence, you know, it was ordinary people in some sense that produced the catastrophes of Nazi Germany and the Soviet Union and Maoist China. I mean, they might not have originated it, but they certainly had the option to say no at different parts, different steps along the way, and they didn't, you know, and these things do happen one horrible thing at a time. There's this great book called Ordinary Men, which describes the descent of a German police force from ordinary bourgeois middle-class men, essentially, just ordinary policemen, who actually were raised before the Hitler Youth. They weren't indoctrinated, you know, as young people. And they were brought into Poland to sort of mop up after the Germans had walked through. And it describes how they descended into the sort of people who would take naked pregnant women out into the middle of fields and shoot them in the back of the head. And what's horrifying about the book is that the author, Browning, details the stages by which this occurred. And it's for example, the commander of this unit told the men that they were going to have to do terrible things, but that they could go home if they wanted to. And then you think, well, there's an out. But then if you really think about it, you think, well, they're a tightly knit quasi-military organization. And one of the natural thoughts under that circumstance would be, well, I'm not going to leave my comrades to do all the dirty work. That would just be a matter of cowardice. And so you can see that, you know, that there's an ethical requirement that would keep you there to begin with. And then they were...
Well, you're doing what you just said, which is taking the burden of this sinful activity on yourself. If you let everyone else do it, then you're not acting heroically.
Well, right, and so it was easy for the men to get entrapped into that, and then, you know, the requirements for their horrific action kept ramping up, and like each time they accepted the requirement of doing one horrific thing, the probability that they would accept the next requirement increased. And what is also really interesting about that book, Ordinary Men, is that it's not like these men didn't suffer. Like, they were suffering terribly. They were physically ill. They were vomiting. They were tearing themselves apart psychologically, you know, but they didn't quit. So that's a great book, because if you want to know how you can be enticed to walk down a terrible path, that's the book to read. And it's very frightening, because if you read it properly, then you know, you have to read it again, as I said, as if you're one of the people to whom this is happening, not the victim, but the oppressor, you know. And, I mean, you can also read it as the victim, that's fair enough, but it's ordinary people who participate in these things, and that's a very, very terrifying thought.
People, ordinary people who participate in these things, and it is horrifying and terrifying to think about. And so that's the big takeaway, I think, from today's broadcast. It's every one of us. And so that's why I say often that I believe the World War II generation was the firewall. You didn't see a significant, not the accelerating decline that we see in the post 9/11 era until we really started to lose the World War II generation. I don't know what your experience is. My experience is that knowing many of those folks, there were lines they wouldn't cross. You just don't approach the line. You don't even talk about it. And now, you know, and that was it's interesting. You know, you go back. I go back mentally to the Reese Committee. And again, Thomas McNeice's words about how a revolution had occurred without gunfire and with an overwhelming consent to the majority in the FDR years, 1933 to 1936. And, you know, they wrote it could not have happened unless education in America was prepared in advance to endorse it. And I dare say the World War II generation, and they talked about their parents teaching them lessons about money and how it works and things. But I dare say the World War II generation was the last to receive a real, at least some semblance of a real education. There are vestiges of that into the 40s and the 50s, you know, maybe even the boomer generation. But it really had all been all but done away with. And then by the 60s, obviously, we have the Marxist infiltration of the colleges and so forth, Marxist socialists. And people don't even know what they're talking about. It's so crazy to see all of this happening, and people have no idea what's happening or what they're talking about when they're espousing views. They have no idea where this stuff comes from. It's just astonishing to watch. Really remarkable. One of the comments from the video, how a totalitarian state is actually formed, is interesting. This person comments, aside from Dr. Peterson, of course, every serious young person should be aware of Stanley Milgram and Walter Mischel. The Milgram experiment drives home the point of this video. The capacity for the average person to fully participate in the tyranny is much higher than many of us would like to believe. Absolutely. And that's part of the propaganda, the otherizing that Jordan Peterson talks about. And again, we're all drawn into it. You dehumanize and you otherize certain groups of people. And like Solzhenitsyn said, you know, if only it were so easy, all that easy to just, you know, round up all the bad people and like lepers, you know, ship them off to an island somewhere. But he said the line between good and evil cuts through the heart of every man, and who's willing to cut out a piece of his own heart? We have to understand that. Milgram experiment points that out. The Ash conformity experiments help us with this. The Stanford prison experiment, obviously, you know, Philip Zimbardo and the Lucifer effect, understanding how good people turn evil. All the other books, I mean, this is, it's sort of, you know, just a repeat of last year's subject matter. I went through all of that stuff last year. And specifically for this purpose, so that we understand the signs of the times and the times of the signs. There are conditions that are happening, you know, Hayek talks about it. Again, chapter 10, why the worst get on top. Look what's happening for the 2020 election cycle. How ironic. 2020, which is, you know, in terms of vision, considered perfect vision, so to speak. Good vision. Acceptably, you know, within the acceptable tolerances of good vision. And yet, it's frightening. You know, avowed socialists, darlings of the media and front-runner presidential candidates and other despots and tyrants, and people will elect them. Doesn't that punctuate IX Road to Serfdom Chapter 10? Stick around, I'll be right back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Welcome back. If there's in conclusion of today's broadcast, if there's any hope of averting catastrophe, it's in being honest about what's going on. And in a post-truth world, that's difficult, right? Oxford English Dictionary word of the year, post-truth. That's saying something. So, you know, whether it's Carl P. Reiter in I Could Sell You Anything telling us back in 1972, a U.S. president was sold to the American public as a product. Why? Because whether you think you're immune to it or not, advertising works. Or going back a little further, if it's Vance Packard in The Hidden Persuaders back in 1957, in, you know, an entire section titled Persuading Us as U.S. as Citizens, you know, opening Chapter 17, Politics and the Image Builders, with the Kenneth Boulding quote, a world of unseen dictatorship is conceivable, still using the forms of democratic government. Or, you know, the other folks have used similar language, terms of art, sophistry, intrigue, deception. Or it's Hayek's Road to Serfdom, Chapter 10, Why the Worst Get on Top. And the lessons that he tells us. Whatever the case, the way out of this mess, I believe, begins with honesty. And again, that is, I think, predicated on the precepts of virtue, morality, and religion. And I know it's difficult. Honesty is difficult because, you know, again, speaking of Hayek, he follows Why the Worst Get on Top with Chapter 11, The End of Truth. It's difficult. You know, but we are in an awful mess. You read Chapter 10. This is what's shaping up more than ever in the 2020 election cycle. The man or the party who seems strong and resolute enough to get things done. You know, you have problems, right? General demand for quick and determined government action that is the dominating element in the situation. Dissatisfaction with the slow and cumbersome course of democratic procedure, which makes action for action's sake the goal. We saw it in the 2016 election cycle. We saw it in midterms. We'll see it again. And how did Stephen Covey put that? You can't talk your way out of a problem you behaved your way into. America has behaved its way into a problem that rhetoric and propaganda will not get us out of. It's time for us to be honest with ourselves and one another about ourselves and one another. I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.